The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
How to approach my niche for the first time. How do you mean? Talk to me.
So I have finally picked up a niche and I'm working towards getting some of the office managers to talk to me. So my niche is to clean the offices, like business offices, corporate offices, just not government yet or not medical yet.
So just hold on, general. Two things. Let's get more specific. Offices is not a niche. Let's be more specific. Is it
managers' offices?
But I don't know what that manager, dentist offices, chiropractic offices, lawyers, doctors. I'm trying to think of all the different offers. There's a lot of kinds of offices. What do we, insurance companies, banks, talk to me.
So any other offices other than the ones you have just mentioned, which I know that those ones are in a separate categories, I would say.
Okay, so that would be like me going, I'm going to coach business owners. Hey, business owners, come to me for coaching. Any business owner, it's very difficult. It was fairly easy for me to get very well known in the owners of cleaning company space because it's so specific. So you don't have to have a niche, but it's so much easier for me to go. And again, I've had a contracting company, a manufacturing company, a car dealership, obviously a coaching company, obviously a cleaning company. What else have I done? I think there are a couple of blinds company, done a bunch of stuff. Well, I could coach all of those people, but the fact that I go, owners of cleaning companies, I help you and you alone. How many of you guys, at least 20% of your decision to be here is because we as a company only help owners of cleaning companies. Anyone? Am I the only one? All right. Amanda's like at least 20% of my decision was because I only help owners of cleaning companies. Most often, if I ask that in this room, it'll be at least half. So you don't have to, but the easiest way is when I go, guys, gals, and this is the truth, all we do is help owners of cleaning companies. I've spoken on ISSI stage. I've done 900 podcasts just about this. I've written 2 books just on this. I have coached thousands of people. I have literally forgotten more about how to grow a cleaning company than almost anybody walking the face of this earth knows. The confidence I have to say that helps A, me be awesome at my job. B, you guys go, well, shit, why would I go with some generic business coach? And this guy knows, you know, we can talk about cost of goods sold and how 90% of it's going to be wives and not husbands and how to, like, it's all specific. So if you go, hey, office managers, I've cleaned random buildings more than anybody, it's not helpful. But if you go to a dentist, and it doesn't have to be dentist, I'm just picking anything random. If you go to a dentist office, his pain is going to be wildly different than a car dealership. Who's going to be wildly different than a doctor? And when I say doctor, a plastic surgeon's pain is going to be very different than a chiropractor's, which is going to be very different than a dentist, which is going to be very different than a surgical office, which is going to be very different than a hospital, which will be very different than a minute clinic. So do you see how, if you just go, I help buildings, nobody identifies as a building manager, or if they do, but they're like, are you a dentist? Oh my gosh, that's me. Like when, for you guys, any of the marketing we didn't go, hey, company owner, hey, entrepreneur, come talk to me. We said, you own a cleaning company that's 6 figures and want to go to 7. You're like, holy crap, that's me. So the more specific, you know, ideally I'd go, Esther, are you doing, and I'd say your exact shirt color and how big are you just starting your cleaning company? You want this? You'd be like, oh my God, that's me. But because it's broad, I can't get that specific. So, but if I can say, yeah, the more specific you get, the better. So you don't have to niche down further, but it'll be so much easier if you're like, especially because you're starting, the good news is all the people you're competing with will be doing general. So you're going to compete with Kevin, who's been doing this, I don't know, 10, 20 years. He's like, I got a bunch of employees. I've made millions of dollars of this. I'm really good at it. Tough to compete with. But if you go and you want to come, you only do car dealerships. And again, it doesn't have to be car dealerships. And you go to Steve's auto car dealership and that's all you do. And you're really an expert at it. You have a chance to compete against Kevin because he knows janitorial. He's got a lot of experience and money and help around that. But when it comes to car dealers, you can get better at that than him pretty quickly. Does that make sense? So especially when you're, I mean, niche is good for everybody, but when you're starting, it just makes it so much easier. So you want to start with a tiny niche and then you get bigger. So like Kevin, he might be like, I've been doing this a long time. He might go broad. Like if I wanted to now, being very firmly set in owners of cleaning companies, do something like owners of pool cleaning companies or something very, you know, kind of a very similar thing because most of our stuff is going to be exactly the same. I can make that sideways move. And then if I wanted to go to owners of service companies, I could make that move. But you start very small, then it's easier to get bigger. If you start big, you can only stay big and you have to compete with guys and gals that have been doing it longer and have more experience. But again, Kevin's a perfect example. He's got more time, more money, more experience, more everything. If you compete with him, you're going to have very, and I don't think you're in the same city, so I don't mean this literally, but there's a Kevin in your city. I promise he's not in this room, but there is a Kevin in your city right now. And when you want to compete with that dude, you're going to have a tough time. But if you go, all I do is golf courses, clubhouses for golf courses. And I can talk to you about golf and turns and all the industry stuff, and I can meet it. And Kevin could be like, I've never cleaned a golf course, or I've cleaned one, you know what I'm saying? And now you can compete with the big guys. So you don't have to do that now, and I'm going to tell you how to approach a niche, but I would find a niche. So businesses, office buildings are not a niche. Cause if you go, hey, do you own an office building or do you manage an office building? You're going to get the same response if I told you guys, are you an owner of a business? You're like, yeah, I guess. But when I go, are you an owner of a cleaning company? You're like, oh my gosh, that's me. So when you go, are you the facility? And that's the other thing. The person running a dentist office might be the office manager. The car dealership might be a facilities manager. A property management might be a property manager. So even the way that you speak to them, like when I'm on stage, if I addressed chiropractors and I said, hey, everybody, I'm going to teach you how to get more clients, you know, 50 clients in 50 days, I'm going to teach you. They'd all hate my guts. You're like, why? Because I do know the chiropractor niche, and I know they don't believe they have clients, they have patients, and they'd be offended that I referred to them as a client. So you want to get the industry jargon, like car dealerships. I own a car dealership, so I know that they think people are ups. Not they think, but they would refer to people coming on their lot as ups. They would say it's gross. Like, hey, what was the gross on that? And if it was like $2,000, it'd be a 2-pounder. Is that front end or back end? I know back end means warranty and other stuff. Front end is the difference between what they're paid and what they owe. I would talk about who's flooring it. That means who's financing the cars. I've got all these words that if I use these words to a car dealer, he's going to go, oh, this guy gets me. So if I was trying to sell him coaching and I said, do you want your customers to make more profit for your business and cut your cost to carry your inventory? They're like, what the hell are you talking about? But if I go, do you need more ups with more 4-pounders and less money in your flooring company? Boom, they get me. So you see the little things matter. So I would highly encourage everybody, but the smaller you are, the more you need to niche, pick a niche. That said, if you're like, how do I pick a niche? Go to module 3. We tell you exactly how to pick which one. That said, when you're like, how do I get to my niche? Give before you get. So when I started this company, I just did a podcast. I didn't charge anything for it. We had nothing to sell. Just did a podcast. And I just brought literally owners of cleaning companies on. I just coached them for free. That was my whole business model. And before long, people went, can you coach me for money? I didn't do any advertising, didn't do anything. Just coach for free. Just gave a bunch of value. And I said, sure. And then eventually we started doing it on purpose. So if I were you, I'd pick my niche. And I'm just going to say car dealers because I know car dealers, but pick anything you want. Doesn't matter. Gyms, restaurants, title agencies, insurance companies, banks, whatever. I'm happy to talk to you about any niches because this is my niche. I know all your niches and I'm happy to help you walk through that. Real quick, Cleaning Nation, if you can think about how you found out about this podcast, maybe a tweet, a Facebook message, iTunes search, some sort of Instagram post, the only way we grow is word of mouth. We don't do paid ads. We don't run ads. You are it. The only ask I have is if you're getting value, share the love. However you found out about this, if it's a review or post, whatever it is, do that. Pay it forward so the next cleaning company owner can change their life as well. Back to the show. And just give a bunch of value to them. Hey, I'm going to be, I'm getting into the space. I'd like to do some free service for you. If you'll give me a pain conversation, if you'll just tell me what makes you crazy and give me the opportunity to bid, I'll give you a 5-star review and buy your service, or I'll refer 5 friends, or I'll bring pizza for you and the whole staff and we'll have a pizza party. I'll just find a way to give value, and that's it. And once you give value, they'll start coming to you. And the nice thing is if you have a niche, it's so much, they gather nicely. So if you're just doing offices, office people don't generally have an association. But if you're doing car dealers, they do have associations and they meet every month and all the car dealers are together at that association. You could join that thing. Dentists, I've never been a dentist, but I'm pretty sure they meet every month at their little dentist groups. Property managers, they all meet together. So first I would niche, and then I would just find a way to give as much value to that niche as possible without asking for something or asking just for the opportunity to bid, and just tell them I'm new. I'm going to own, like when I started the cleaning company or this business, and this was 7 years ago, but I just gave value and people are like, oh my God, that's great. Or, you know, what are you looking for? Perfect example. There's a book called Influence by Robert Cialdini, which is really good. He talks about the Hare Krishna movement, which I didn't know anything about. Their whole thing was based on reciprocity. So you guys are too young, so you don't know. But in the 70s, apparently the Hare Krishnas would be at airports, and there'd be two of them. One would have flowers, and all the people that came by, they just hand a flower. That's all. So Esther walks by, just hand her a flower. If someone hands you a flower, you're a human. You don't slap them in the face. Typically, you take the flower. Soon as Esther takes a flower, you know what I do? I put the thing out for money. Right? There's my little hat. She's like, damn it, I got the flower. I got it. Right? And I throw a buck in. Now, if I just put the thing out for money, very few people are going to give me money. But if I hand someone a flower and then I put the thing out, money. And then the second Hare Krishna just waited 20 feet down the road by the garbage can, because the first thing Esther's going to do is throw the flower in the garbage. So she collects all the flowers, brings it back to me. We use the same flowers over and over again. So the power of reciprocity is really important. So when you do something for free for somebody, they're immediately going to go, this is an imbalance. This isn't fair. What do I need? How can I fix it? How can I make it right? And you go, you could give me a 5-star review on Google. You can give me the opportunity to bid. Even if you don't like it, you don't have to take it. Just give me the opportunity to bid. You could refer me to someone else who I could give some value to. So just find a niche, give a bunch of value, and they will start trying to right the wrong and give you value in return. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Questions, yeah. Comments? You get what you need. Is that enough for a week?
That's basically where I struggle from, like picking it. So if I could actually ask, so what would be those little niches you may suggest that I start with? Maybe that would help. So suggest.
What city are you in?
So I'm in Saskatchewan, Canada.
Saskatchewan? What's the population there?
So the city I'm in is Saskatoon. Saskatoon is about 350,000 population.
Okay, plenty of people. Okay, so I don't know that I can tell you which niche is good or bad, but I can give you some of the pros and cons of each, and I think that'll help you be attracted to one. So you've definitely decided commercial, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So just so you know, for everybody, not just Esther, commercial is... like we talked about earlier, it's a longer sales cycle, but larger win. So you can get a $2,000-$3,000 a month commercial client, but it's probably going to take a month or two. Residential, you can get a client tomorrow, but it's probably going to be $300-$400 a month, right? So there's kind of that yin and yang. So that said, it depends if you're more motivated by short-term or long-term. If I'm more motivated by short-term, I would pick the biggest pain, and the biggest pain is the biggest pain for you too. So if I needed money today, if I needed money today, I would go residential on commercial. But if I was committed to commercial and I'm like, I don't really care about how hard my life is, I just need this to succeed, I'd pick the low-hanging fruit. Low-hanging fruit is gyms and restaurants. The reason they're low-hanging fruit is they are a pain in the ass. So I'll tell you why. Most of them are open many hours. They're both open 7 days a week, almost always, right? Especially large, you know, a decent-sized restaurant. B, they're open lots of hours. So they want you to come in at like midnight or, you know, cause even if they close at 9 or 10, they don't get out of there until 11 or 12. And then you come in after that. It's a pain in the butt to solve for. The good news is it's a pain in the butt to solve for. So they have a very hard time getting good cleaners, but they're large accounts because they're 7 days a week and restaurants are disgusting. Gyms are disgusting. Each one of those is going to be $2,000-$4,000 account. Like there are no, I shouldn't say there are no, the regular restaurant or gym would be $2,000 to $4,000, 7 days a week, middle of the night, hard cleaning, easy to get value to. But somebody's working 7 days a week at midnight and if the alarm goes off or someone loses a key and they call Esther, that sucks. So that would be one spectrum. The other end of the spectrum would be banks. I love banks. They're 5 days a week. They're super clean. They're super easy. You get two people in there, takes 2 hours, like easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Ain't nothing wrong with a bank. Everybody wants those. They're typically tied up in 3-year contracts with 1, 2, or 3 1-year extensions, and they're a son of a gun to get into. So if you're like, I just want to be really good, property manager is another good example. One property manager might manage 1 million square feet of buildings and control $200,000, $300,000 a year of, or $500,000 a year of cleaning, but they want to know you. Kevin's been talking with them for years and he's got a relationship. You try and get there, you ain't going to get it. You know, you'll work them for 6 months and get a crappy job that nobody else wants then to see how you do. And if you do really good on that one, he'll give you a better one. And a year from now, you might have a leg in. So that's kind of the spectrum in terms of, do I want the nasty jobs sooner, or do I want the better jobs later? And in the middle would be like car dealerships would probably be closer to restaurants because they're typically 6 or 7 days a week. You know, you still can't get until 9 or 10, but they're not as filthy and disgusting as, unless you do the service area, and then those can get disgusting. Mortuaries can be good because there's dead people there, and some people freak out about those, and those could be a pain in the ass. And again, you might not see right there. Esther doesn't want it. So someone else will be like, I'll take one. I don't care about dead people. We had one when I had my cleaning company in mortuary. So really it's just, here, let me give you the good news, Esther. Any niche is better than no niche. So as long as there are some of them, right? If you pick bowling alleys and your town has 2 bowling alleys, that's probably not a good niche. You don't need thousands, but you need at least dozens, ideally a couple hundred. So literally, if you threw a dart at a board and came up with any type of niche, as long as they have pain, which as long as they have people in and out of their building that depend on the facility being nice to operate, they have pain. All commercials have money, right? Like the janitorial is way down on the list and they can all afford it. They'll tell you they're broken, they can't, or they're a nonprofit, don't listen, they can all afford it. Any niche is better than no niche, right? So pick something you like. Minute clinics would be good. They're, again, sometimes hours can be weird, but they've got pain. I wouldn't start with something like hospitals. They're hard to get into. Like property managers, I think would be good, but they're longer term. Like you said, government, that takes a while to learn. So I'd pick something easy. It really, so yeah, if you're like, I need something now and I don't care how hard things are, pick restaurants, and gyms are probably the easiest to get. If you're like, I want something a little easier than that, I might go car dealerships. Yeah. Is that helpful at all?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. So again, yeah, hopefully they'll give you some ideas of where to go. But the cool thing is if you, and again, it's so much easier. The name of my company, Grow My Cleaning Company. Immediately, you know what the heck we do. If you do car dealerships, it's happycleancardealer.com. Like super, like boom, right between the eyes. So Kevin, again, he might have been there forever. I forget his company names, but Kevin's Commercial Cleaning. Right off the bat, when I got a bid from Kevin's Commercial Cleaning for my car dealership and I got happy, profitable, clean car dealer, right off the bat, I'm already looking towards you. I'm like, oh, this guy gets me. So the niche is going to give you a lever that most people aren't going to have, even if they've got a lot more experience than you. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me. But like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share it with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431, 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.